Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For, brothers, you were called to freedom. Eleutherion, noun. Eleutherion. You were called to freedom. Let me summarize that. The only freedom that God has given us is the freedom to do His law. So, you were not given any freedom to do evil. So, we call that license, lasciviousness, etc. So, you have no freedom as a Christian to do that which is evil or wicked or shallow or vain or foolish, etc. So you only have freedom for one reason. God set us free through Jesus Christ so that we would do the law. And what is the law? It's real simple. What is the law? Well, you can summarize it in two parts, worship and love. Worship goes to God, love goes to the neighbor. Now, worship is love. That is, when we worship God, we love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all of our strength. That is, spirit, soul, and body, 4, 5, and 6. So, right there, all that God wants you to do is worship God with all your heart, and soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself, chair 6. Loving your neighbor as yourself has nothing to do with 4 and 5. Loving your neighbor as yourself is built on that foundation of 4 and 5. But 6 is actually fulfilled. You've fulfilled the law. You've perfected the law, not just when you worship God, not just when you're born again, not just when the blood of Jesus, you have faith in that for your righteousness, that it covers all your sins imputedly, or when you actually get them removed, because He forgives you before you got rid of your sins, before you changed, before you became powerful in your behavior, He had to kill you first. So chair 4 is that you're born. That you have to be born in order to die. As soon as you die, then you can be, it's possible, resurrected. But you can't be resurrected unless you're dead. And you can't die unless you're born. So you have to go to 4 and then to 5 and then to 6. It's in order. That's the protocol. That's God's protocol. So for most Christians in our day, most, and it will remain that way until the Lord returns, for most Christians, chair 4 is as far as they get. That's just enough to make them secure in folly. Because God doesn't want you to go to chair. He doesn't want you to be born. He wants you to live. How many bring home a child and you don't really care if it lives or dies? No. We bring home children. And then the next part is much harder than getting them born, which is nourish them, cherish them, discipline them, teach them, train them. And they go through growing pains. They go through suffering. They go through the furnace. They go through the baptism of fire. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is chair 5, is also the baptism of fire, affliction, chastening. The father that loves his son chastens him, not for his destruction, but for the annihilation of the reign and rule of your flesh, so that you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's a war set up, as a matter of fact. After you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be emptied of yourself. You fill the glass with water, all the air has gone out. The same when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're no longer walking after the flesh. So they war against each other. Epithumia means thumos is mind. So you're earnestly desiring with all your soul, with all your mind, chair 5, to lust after the flesh or after the spirit. It could be either. It could be negative or positive in that sense. So to desire something so strongly, whether it's wicked or whether it's righteous, is what your life is all about. There will be something that you will desire strongly. And when you do, you're either going to follow the flesh and call it hedonism, pleasure seeking, avoiding pain, and so on. You won't want to go through chair five because it's going to be eliminated. Chair five is the threshing machine that separates. It's the fire that separates and purifies your spirit, but destroys the reign of the rule of your soul or your flesh, sarx. So that Greek word is referring not just to the skin and bones, but it refers to anything that's a deviation from loving God with all your heart and soul and strength and your neighbor as yourself. No worship to the neighbor, all love to God, all worship to God, which then he leads you to love your neighbor because of the relationship through your worship or your union with God through Christ. The holiness of the Father through the mercy of the Son by the power of the Spirit according to the Word of God. So God wants us to not just be born again in chair four, but to walk in the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit to do that. In order to do that, you'd have to go through chair four, born, and then die, and then resurrect. You can't be resurrected until you're dead, and you can't be dead until you're born. So the only reason you're born is so you can die, and the only reason you die is so you can live. His resurrected life, eternal life, that is not finished by chair four or by chair five. Though you're born of the Spirit, then you're filled with the Spirit, but now you also must be led by the Spirit. But you don't do it. You don't do four. You don't do five. You don't do six. It's a gift. It's a total gift by God. He doesn't want you to behave, doesn't want you to stop misbehaving. He wants to do everything for you as you are. Don't hide. Don't pretend like you're better than you are. You actually are, apart from him, nothing. You can do nothing. You are nothing. You have nothing. 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 So God wants to make something out of you, which he originally intended when he created the world, that you would be, and everyone would be, worshiping God with all their heart and soul and strength and loving their neighbor as themselves. But since that never happened, and God knew it would never happen, before there even was a world, he already knew everything. He had perfect knowledge of what would be. He is the one that actually wrote into your DNA the capacity to worship God with all your heart and soul and strength and love your neighbor as yourself, and that's the best way for your DNA to operate, your code, your law written upon your heart, on your soul, so that you actually are a self-submitted to God in all things. Number five, chair number five, breaks your will. That's the most important thing. Renewing your mind, yes, that follows from that. Once you break your will, then you can renew your mind. If you don't renew your mind, it's because you never had your will broken. You're still willful, selfish, pleasure-seeking, trying to avoid all problems and troubles, living in a heaven that doesn't exist. And so God designed this world so that you fail of your purpose. He designed it so that you will, because he knew you would. Even though he said not to, he knew you would. Because you can't do it apart from him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, through me, by me, with me, you can do all things. So all things that God has designed, because you're free. You've been called brothers. For brothers, we are called to freedom, a noun. You are called to be free to do what? To do his law, and to fulfill his law perfectly. Now, since you didn't do it, and you cannot do it, and you'll never will do it, not even in all eternity, He's free to do it for you, four. In you, five. Through you, six. He's free to do that. And he doesn't have to, he wants to. Doesn't have to. But it's his nature. His nature is to never start something you don't finish. So his holiness requires that we be perfect. But his mercy forgives us for not being perfect. Because after all, you would have to be in relationship to him in order to be perfect. Because under the law, nothing is made perfect. So, if you try as Buddhists do, or as Hindus do, as Muslims do, as Catholics do, as Jews do, and so on, you will fail because they're all under laws, behaving themselves, not misbehaving, doing their best to not misbehave. How many know that's how you raise children, is don't misbehave, because you'll be punished, you'll be chastened, you'll be unhappy. That's why God doesn't want you to misbehave, because he doesn't want you to miss out on current happiness as well as future happiness. Are you in heaven today? Yes, it's already started. And will you be in heaven in the future? Yes, that's cheating. You get two heavens, heaven now and heaven later. Though it doth not yet appear, it doth not yet appear, so you have to live it by faith, chair four. But faith is not faith if it isn't active in love, chair six. But the only way you can get to six is through five. So you have to go through the furnace. God only saves people, not through four, not even through five, but you have to go through five out of the furnace. He only saves people who are desperate in the furnace. That is where you say, God, I will to do your pleasure. I will to do your will in all my ways, all my days, all the time, everywhere. So how many are praying that prayer right now? Well, the spirit in you is praying that prayer. The flesh in you is not praying that prayer. It actually is antithetical to that. It's against that idea. So, epithumia, thumos, I told you, is mind, but it's also strong desire. In other words, with everything you've got in you, you're either going to go for God or you're going to go for this world. Now, everybody here is selfish by nature, by your natural existence, not that it is your natural existence, you go against your natural existence to do this, is instead of loving God, you decide to go it without him. Remember, Eve, independently of God, went to the tree that was forbidden to figure out what good and evil was. How many of you have decided every day, without God's help, what good and evil is? Because you know what good is. Good is when everything goes your way. And evil is when someone thwarts me or gainsays me or attempts to do so. And so, therefore, if you follow pleasure, which this world does, still does, always will, until the end of this age. But it's still the time of the Gentiles right now, so don't imagine there will be heaven on earth except by faith and some, but not all. So it doth not yet appear all. So six is not yet, you'll never have six perfectly. It will always be, I die daily, five. Therefore, I can be resurrected daily, six. But the death is the key to the resurrection. To know him after the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Yahoo! So, to know him after the power of his resurrection, that's when Jesus resurrected from out of the realm of the dead. Came up from out of Hades, came up from out of the dirt, the earth. He was under the earth and then he came up. And Jesus did that, and that's chair four. And I believed in that because it's an act that was promised by God, and that's how you react to promises that are made. You either believe them or you don't. If you believe them, you act on them. If you don't believe him, you don't. So when someone obligates themselves, obliges themselves as a promisor, and you're the promisee, the recipient of the promise, you can either believe it or doubt it. If you believe it, you'll go pick the check up. If you don't, you won't, because you go, well, she says it, but she doesn't mean it. But when God speaketh, he always means what he says, and he always speaks and acts whatever he speaks, or speaks whatever he acts, so that you have a total understanding of what it is he wants, what it is he pleases, what it is that he desires. There's no confusion on that in the scriptures. There is in the Rig Veda, there is in all other Qurans and other books, because they are false. Total 100% lies, not true. But everything that God said is true. And you cannot gainsay it. You cannot argue against it and say he's wrong. You will lose the argument. When God says something, that's the way it is. And all his sayings are true. Every word out of his mouth is true. None of ours are. Unless you confess exactly what he said. If you say what he said, then you're confessing. Homo legeo means to say the same thing that God says. If he says you're a sinner, you're a sinner. If he says you're a saint, you're a saint. And he defines those terms for you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, meekness, self-control. So, chair 4, love, joy, peace. Chair 5, patience, kindness, goodness. Chair 6, faithfulness, meekness, self-government, self-control by the Spirit. Everything there is not a human work. Nothing there is a human work. Those gifts of the Spirit, 9, sorted out according to justification, sanctification, and glorification. Those gifts of the Spirit are actually the work of the Spirit as you grow, as you develop, as you are born, and then you become a young man or a young woman, and then you become a mature woman or a mature man. And you know the goal is every man mature, Paul said. So my goal for this church, or for anyone, is every man mature in Christ. In other words, everyone that's been given to me, not the ones that are just showing up, but the ones that are given to me, I want everyone to be mature in Christ. And that's easy. First of all, you have to make sure they're born again. They're born again. But born again is the biggest group. So many, many, many are called, but few are chosen. And so few go through the furnace, 5, and therefore few arrive at 6, where you're actually walking in the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit in 4, then you're led of the Spirit in 6, but only if you are filled with the Spirit in 5, which means emptied of yourself. So once you're emptied of yourself and you're no longer lusting after the flesh, you're no longer epithumia, related to your flesh nature. Flesh is not just skin and bones. Flesh is also a system of you following your sarx, following your nature to defy God, to rebel against God, to not do what God wants. How many know every child that's ever been born into the world has that nature? Every child. From the moment of birth. In fact, David says, in sin did my mother conceive me. So there's a little problem there, that even those little fellows in there, that little girl in there, they're thinking only of themselves. Well, we don't say they're thinking because we don't know anything about that. But, you know, John the Baptist, when he was in the womb, he leapt for joy. I don't know how anybody knew that, but God wrote that. So that means even when he was in the womb, he was already a person. So that's why abortion is demonic, murder, evil. Because even when he was 6 months in the last trimester, even though he was 6 months, he recognized the Lord, his Lord. And even Elizabeth just said it. Wow. Why is it that my Lord the Lord. You've come to me and you got him in you. You've got him in you there. And so she knew that. How did she know? I don't know. It's miraculous. But we know things that we don't know that we know. And so even little babies, now they can prove, but nevertheless, for a long time, they just said they're just tissue or something or other and so on and so forth, goo or something, a monkey in, you know, development or something. But the truth is that was all monkey business. And so evolution is complete nonsense. It's complete nonsense along the macro level that a sponge never turned into a cricket, which became a monkey, which became you. So that's silly. But the truth is that there is no change. A tree is still a tree, never has changed from the foundation of the world. A banana tree is still not an apple tree. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. But grapes still come from grapevines. In other words, everything after its kind, the way God originally made it. Little horses and big horses and all that stuff is just horsing around. The truth is that everything was created by God as it is. And so the fact that we've improved our potatoes or our sugar beets just simply means that's the way it was originally. And all we did was eliminate some of the genetic code that produced weaker elements and tried to keep the better ones. So it isn't anything new. The only thing new in this world is you and me. We're a new creation. Kine, which means new of a different kind, new unlike never before, ever. Katesis, creation. So you and I, unlike the Old Testament, this is not in the Old Testament. You and I, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, you and I, intimate related to Christ, you and I are a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come already now. Though you don't see it, you don't always experience it. Sometimes you see some indication, some fruit, some sign. You can be dead every day and you can rise every day. And it just won't last. Even in this world, you cannot be a permanent, wondrous person. You will always, always, even now, you can do something that's right, but you can't stay it, keep it, hold it, because you're derivative. You are a derivative of Christ in you. And as long as you are with Christ, you will produce fruit that he produced with you, in relationship to you. In other words, that's what he's always wanted. He always wanted, on earth, everybody to obey him. Everybody to trust him. Everybody. But that plan did not work. That plan did not work. Plan A failed. His pro forma was excellent, but by foreknowledge, he already knew ain't going to happen. So he made a plan B that in case that fails, that all men will be my stewards, my trustees, my servants on earth, doing all my will and pleasure. In case that doesn't work, I'm going to raise up some Jewish people. So that was plan B. They'll fix it. And if that doesn't work under the law, then I'll raise up some children to Abraham. And then Jesus, who is the son of Abraham and the son of King David, those are the only two mentioned. He's the son of Abraham by faith, that's the priestly side, and that's the religious side. And then he's also the son of King David, that's the royal side, where he's a doer. Royal people do stuff. They're executors. They're the ones that execute what the priest hath declared to be clean or unclean. And so God has designed each of you, every one of you, to be a saint. Yahoo! Saint Betsy. Amen. That's good. Everybody, Everybody, he wants it for everybody. But, of course, plan A didn't work. And therefore, plan B still didn't work. Keeping his law, behaving yourself, doesn't make you a Christian. As a matter of fact, it makes you a hypocrite and a liar and guilty. And therefore, probably without much hope. So it would take a miracle to make a lukewarm hot. But it could be done. If God had any Christians on earth, he could actually make more. So the way he designed everything is that plan C would happen through the Holy Ghost, not just the blood of Jesus, chair 4, but the Holy Ghost, chair 5, would be able to make a new creation because the wife is taken out of the husband, or the bride is taken out of the man, just as Eve was taken out of the side of Adam, the first Adam. Actually, because of that, Jesus also has created us, produced us, that is, God, working through Christ, hath brought you out of him. So you've been taken out of his side. And because of that, God never intended for Jesus to rule without you, his bride, his consort, his queen. I don't care what you call it, but you are the glory of God, because the glory of God is not just Jesus, but is Jesus and his bride. That's us. So that's a new creation. That's a new creation, not taken out of Adam, not born of woman, not part of this natural world, but something greater, something greater, something kine katesis, a brand new creation. The old has passed away, never would be again. And the new has come. Perfect tense. Perfect present. Present perfect. Past perfect, the old is gone. Now, by faith, you don't have to see it to believe it. As a matter of fact, you won't see it. You can only see some evidence, some proof. But he actually designed it so that we would not actually look like Christians, but we would be Christians by faith alone. Sola scriptura, or sola fide, or sola gratia, or solus Christus. So you are now that new creation, and it doth not yet appear that you're new. But some of it does appear, so you have donum totum, the complete total later. But you have donum partum, part of it now. In Latin, simul justus et peccator means you're at the same time a sinner and a saint. How many know Christians still sin? They do. They do. I don't know if you've ever looked at a Christian and just caught them off guard for a few minutes and they weren't acting Christian. We don't have any in this church, thank God. But there are some Methodists. Now, God wants us to then believe this before we see it, before there's a change, before there's anything. He forgives you, covers you with his blood. That's chair 4. And then he begins to work that out, because faith is not faith unless it's active in love. Well, you can't do that, but he can. Because what he starts, he finishes. The good work he began in you, amen. Philippians, the good work he began in you, he will surely, certainly, absolutely finish. So it's impossible not to take a 4 all the way to 6 unless the 4 doesn't want to go through 5 to get to 6, in which case you go back to 2 or 1. So if you don't go forward, you will revert backward to, in fact, you'll be in a worse state than you were before. Better that you were cold, chair 1, than that you should go to 4 and then drop back to 2, behaving yourself, trying to be Jewish again, trying to be pagan even, You know, there are good pagans, nice pagans. They just won't go to heaven because under the pagan natural law, the highest you can get is guilt, sin and death, period. That's as high as you can go. How many notice that there are a lot of people in this world that are evil? They're evil. They're just evil, outwardly evil. But there are others, and there's more of chair two than there is of chair one, because nobody wants to admit they're in chair one, except a handful of people. I can think of some. And because of that, chair one isn't as comfortable as chair two, except if you're wicked beyond measure and you're an earth dweller. If you're an earth dweller, then you are a chair one. Even if you say you're a chair two, you're actually a chair one. And God will judge that later because he knoweth the heart. So in your heart, you're still selfish. How many know there are many Christians who say they're Christians, but they're actually only interested in themselves and they don't love their neighbor at all? They just use their neighbor as an object for their own pleasure. Has anybody noticed that about some Christians? Praise God. Those are pleasure seekers. Those are hedonists. And that has come back. I don't know. America used to be more holy and wonderful and awesome. But now we've degenerated back to, I mean, the millennials, they don't even know about church. They don't even know about God, which makes them ripe, by the way. I like it because they don't have any bad religion to throw away. They're just completely polluted to the gills. I mean, they're transvestites and whatever, lawless as all get out. No problem. I don't have any problem with all that. I don't have any problem at all because we love those people. We pray for those people as we pray for Hillary and her recount and so on and so forth, because we love her, as God said, chair six. We love her in chair six. Probably don't love her in chair five yet, but you have to go through chair five until you do. Pray for her, bless her, and love her with all you have. We don't worship her, but we love her. We don't worship her at all because we don't believe that what she's doing is lined up with faith, chair four. Now, she may be a Christian. Maybe. She says she is. From time to time, she'll say those words. But it doesn't matter. It's not yours to judge. God knoweth. But if you're not praying for her, when she does become a Christian someday, she'll thank you, and you'll have to say, I didn't pray for you. So, no, I'm serious about that. You don't realize that the wicked need you to pray for them, because when they do become believers, they know someone didn't win them. And they'll want to thank you, and you'd be a hypocrite and a liar if you said, no, I never did pray. I just prayed, deliver me from her. You know, whatever. That is not a prayer. That is not a good prayer. So God wants all of us to be lovers. That's your goal. Your ultimate goal is to sit in the millennium for 1,000 years in chair seven up there. And then chair eight isn't even up there because we're not close enough yet to teach that one. But the truth is, there is an eternal dwelling place. But in chair seven, you will actually be reigning and ruling with Christ. It says on earth. It means over the earth in the mid-heavens. The reason why it says that is because that used to be Satan's throne. But he took it from Adam and Eve, and therefore it comes back to us. And when Christ comes in the millennium, still in space and time, you actually will be ruling and reigning over the earth, over the 12 tribes of Israel, as it says. And therefore, they'll be on the earth subject to you, who are subject to the highest heaven, God the Father. And so, therefore, when God says something, we'll say something, and then earth will say something, and then the Gentiles who are still here, even at that time, will also then be subject to those 12 tribes of Israel keeping their law, having their land, which they don't have today, and they have never had it. Abraham was given a promise that was never completed, fulfilled. It still isn't. But Jesus is the way. Jesus is how. He is the instrument by which all of Israel, true Israel, can be saved and will be saved. Amen. Just as us. No different. So you cannot precede them. They cannot precede you. We will go in together, Jew and Gentile together, and many of them will be in the mid-heavens with us, but others of them who only want the earthly kingdom that was promised to Abraham and his seed, small s. This is more information than you're expecting, but it's okay. Because I'm talking today about the fruits of the Spirit, those nine fruits of the Spirit in the fifth chapter. So, for freedom you have been set free to do what? To worship God and love your neighbor. Nothing else. That is, to keep the law. To keep the law that the Jewish people never kept. But now you can keep it because Christ is the end of the law. And he is in you. In chair 5. In chair 4, he's for you. He died for you. He rose for you. He was buried for you. He ascended for you. He reigns now for you, because he's for you. He's on your side. You're his beneficiary. You're his beloved. You're his bride. And he wants to perfect you because you cannot come to heaven in chair 7, certainly 8 later. You can't come to heaven or even heaven on earth as it is in heaven, so on earth. Millennium, that's when you'll see it. You can't even get there without going through chair 5. So you have to be disciplined. You have to be growed up. You can't just be a baby in chair 4 or a little child. You have to become a young man or woman in chair 5, growing pains, the teenage years. You're not quite an adult. You're not a child anymore, but you're not quite an adult. And you still have to have your will broken every day and renew your mind every day. And so that's a difficult process, but that is a wonderful thing for you because God designed it for people with flesh still remaining. So if you have any flesh still in you, and I know you pray every day, you do pray every day in your spirit, you pray every day, God, if there be any wicked way, any, even the slightest, I want all out war. I don't want that to rule and reign over me anymore. I want to have these nine fruits operating in my life, ruling and reigning in this world right now, heaven on earth, even though in part seen. Yet, I know that the good work he began, he will surely finish, complete. He swore an oath. It's a promise. Promise is a time thing. A promise, if you get it right away, it's not a promise. If I give you my watch and you give me $1, there's no promise there. But if you take my watch and you promise to pay me in an hour, in a month, in a decade, that's a promissory note. And therefore, a promise is time. And during that time, actually, you could die or fail. And so promises given by men are not reliable. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true, but every man a liar. We can't keep our promises, so I never did join the promise group. There is a promise group. And those promise keepers, I don't believe we keep promises. I believe God keeps promises. I don't believe we do, ever. And therefore, I'm not accountable to the Pope or to other men or to anybody. I'm not accountable. I'm accountable to God, who may have me give an account, but I'm not accountable to men because men are not God, nor do they see your heart, nor do they really know what's going on. They go by appearance. So being accountable to a man is like saying nothing. Well, I'm accountable to the priest. I'm accountable to Pastor Jim. No, you're not. That's silly. That is silly. That's silly. I had a guy call me last night, and again, the one that swears at me, and let me know how I'd failed and that I'll never get anywhere and so on and so forth. Then, of course, he blessed me and hung up. But those are good. Those are good things. I like that. Because while I'm listening to him, I don't speak. I don't talk to him unless the Holy Spirit says, speak. And then I'll speak. I could easily speak, but I can't speak because I have to wait for God to say what to say, when to say, and how to say it. But I just listen to the Holy Spirit. I could say something right there, Holy Spirit. What do you think? So, no. Shut up. Be quiet. Pray for him because he's, you know, juiced up. Pray for him because in a day or two, he'll come and say, you know, something else. Because he loves me, actually, but also when you love somebody, you also want to dethrone them. And when you have juice in you, it helps. You know, so he says God-awful things, which I love. I love them. I love them. Because they actually are fairly close to accurate. You know, you have failed, and so on and so forth. It's good to hear that. It does keep you humble. Not humble, humble. Keeps you humble. And so it's good. But anyway, I got a lot of time to pray for him. And I always take the phone calls. Peggy knows who it is. But I go, no, I want to talk to him. I like to hear what he has to say. You can learn even from people that are not for you. You can learn. And I always translate everything that he says by the power of the Holy Spirit into tongues. So he just said he loves you. That's good. And then he'll usually throw that out because I'm praying. I'm praying for him. And he'll usually just say, well, even though you've failed and you're no good, I do love you and I'm praying God's blessing. It's just like non sequitur, but I'm taking it. It's like, that's good. That's good. Because how many know people are contradictions? You're not really hearing a person. You're hearing the juice. You're not really hearing a person. That doesn't mean they have a good side. I'm just simply saying you don't get to judge. You just simply wait for the Holy Spirit. And if he would say something wrong, which many times I do, I interrupt him and say, no, it's not true. You lied right there and so on. But I'm also capable of saying nothing, and I usually do. And just after a while, the phone will just stop. You know, there's nothing on the other end. Oh, he hung up. So I'm listening to nothing. But that's because he had 45 minutes of swearing and getting it all out. He feels better. So I don't mind at all because prayer works. And I didn't believe I did nothing. I believe that I did nothing because the Holy Spirit didn't say anything. If he does say something, then I'll say something. Because I have no fear or worry about insulting or anything else. He's free, I'm free. But I want you to know it's good to have people who attack you. That's part of Chair 5. It's very good. Because you find out then where you're confidence is, where your faith is, where your ability. Did you know that a soft answer turns away wrath? So, there was a point where he said something, and I said, thank you. So, a soft answer, a hard answer would not be good to rebuke him, because I've already done that in previous occasions, and it just raises the pitch of his voice, and he just doesn't say GD, but he says it even louder. So the whole neighborhood can hear him, I'm sure. I love it. Don't you love being Christians in a real world rather than an artificial ideal made up in your own imagination mind? Let people be whatever they want. Why? Because we are here to be the salt and the light. That's the new creation. It's not in the Old Testament. Israel was called to be a salt. Was called to be a salt. Why? Why salt? I've told you what salt means. Anyone remember what salt means? It is faith, yes. But what is salt? What's it for in the Old Testament? Not preservative. I mean, I know it does. It's not flavor. It is a sweet flavor. That's all true. Everything you said is true. But what it is no sacrifice offering is acceptable, approved by God without the salt. So whether it's a Thanksgiving or it can be any kind, peace offering, meat offering, you know, anything, drink offering, any kind of offering, no salt, it is not acceptable. So you have to put salt with everything that is offered to God, then he accepts it. So we are the salt of the earth. Okay, earth is different than world. World is men living on earth. So earth is bigger. It's the universe. The earth under the heavens, that earth. You are the salt of that earth, meaning you have the truth of the gospel, which convicts the world of sin. And therefore, at times, you speak that or act that in such a way that they get the flavor, they get the purpose of that salt, which is acceptable to God, to allow them, because this is what the word savor means. Savor is morene. Morene, like moron, morene is like the ability to convict the world of its folly, of its vanity, of its foolishness and wickedness. In other words, when people walk into the church, if they're an unbeliever, they should immediately be convicted by our worship, by our love, by the Word of God. They should immediately be convicted just coming into our midst or into your home or at the grocery store, wherever you are. They should be convicted by that salt, the salt of the earth and the light of this world. That is your love, because the light is actually the love of God showing forth from you so that when they see your good works, they glorify your Father because they know you're a son, you're a daughter of God the Father. I can tell just by what you just did. This is a pagan, an unbeliever, someone who has no faith at all in Jesus Christ or in God. They immediately know that's God. What you just did, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness. Faith, faithfulness is actually the word is faith, pistis, not faithfulness. Nevertheless, whether it's an adjective or whether it's a noun, in this case it is a noun literally, it's the same thing. But it all ends up in self-government, self-control. How people know is you don't speak until the Lord speaks. You don't act until the Lord acts. You don't react to anybody on earth who does whatever they do, good or bad, apparently good or bad. You don't react. You always act. If somebody does something good, you don't say that was good or that was wonderful unless the Holy Spirit tells you to say that. So you don't react ever. If people ask you a question, you don't answer the question unless the Holy Spirit gives you the answer that you are to answer. Jesus would say something to somebody, and he wouldn't answer their question. What they thought. You mean a man can be born again in his mother's womb and so on and so forth, Nicodemus said to Jesus, and then Jesus said something. Unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you shall not see the kingdom. And that didn't answer his question. He was asking about being born again or being born from above, because the word is not again, even though it's a second birth. It's actually anothen, which means from above, from heaven. You are heaven born. You are not earth born. Though you were of the earth, you are no longer of the earth. You're a new creation. You are born of the Spirit. And now you're being filled with the Spirit, which is proof that you were born of the Spirit, which then results in being led of the Spirit, born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, because you're dead. You're led because you're dead. Only those that are dead are led. You cannot be led of the Spirit unless you're dead, because if you're alive, you'll interrupt, you'll react, you'll do something without the Lord. So, those fruits of the flesh are numerous. You can read them, and they're much more than nine. There's like 20-some, a lot, and there could be more. I've written a whole bunch up there on the cross behind that manger, a whole bunch of sins, mostly my own. A few of you may have done some of those. I know Linda has. Is that true? Yeah. And so we don't like to acknowledge our sins, but that's what Chair 5 is all about. Of course you can, because there's forgiveness. He forgives you long before he changes you. He doesn't want you to confess your sins after. Just confess them right away and every day. Right away and every day. So always be confessing your sins. Lord, today I was jealous. Today I was angry. Today I was a glutton. Today I was mean, and so on and so forth. Just use the word that the Bible uses. Don't make up your own words like, well, I wasn't so good today. That's not in the Bible. What the Bible wants is, I was a glutton today. I was gluttonous. Now that is an accurate word. I was a murderer today. I was lascivious, etc., etc. So use the same words the Bible uses. It deliberately uses real everyday words and packs them in with power. But we have a tendency to want to alter them a little bit so that it looks like it's bad, but not completely, totally, evilly, nasty, bad. But don't do it that way, because he can't forgive a half a sin or a third of a sin. He wants to forgive real sins, right? And everybody here is lascivious, right? Even though you don't know the word. It means something. Whatever it means, it's a big, long word. But those words, like murder, are more known to us. Did you know that you every day commit murder, not outwardly, but inside? Yeah, because you're irked by somebody, or you're angry at somebody, or you're wanting to control somebody who, it's for their own good. They won't listen. How many know that we always do things for their own good? Of course we do. This is for your good. I'm doing this because I care for you. Those are Christian ways of hiding the fact that you just simply want worship. But worship, honor does not become us. Did you hear what I just said? We can honor people not as people, but as the office they hold. So we can honor the king because it's an office that God created. It's not a man-created office. It's not a man. Government is not man-created, regardless of what you think. Government is created by God. Therefore, there's government everywhere because God created it. But the form of government is something that men choose. There you have liberty, you have freedom to choose, whether it's this or that or something else. But government itself is from God. There will always be government, always. There are always rules and laws everywhere in the universe. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set me free from the law of sin and death, is still a law, but it's a different kind of law because it's the law of the Spirit of life, and that life is Zoe or Zoane, which means eternal life. So that law of eternal life is actually operating in you in Chair 4 and then in Chair 5, but it's not perfected until Chair 6, where love itself, which is the fulfilling of the law, is perfected. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Now fear is gone, and you actually can experience that on a daily basis. If you die daily, you live daily. So this fifth chapter ends up with mentioning then these nine fruits of the Spirit, which is nothing more than Jesus himself. And that's why when they see those fruits, they know you didn't produce them. That was God himself through the Son. The holiness of God through the mercy of the Son, through the power of the Spirit. That is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. You know, down in the bottom, there's the table. There's three things down there, but you know, one that's main is the table of the law. So that's the holiness of God. Be holy or else. God hates sin, always will hate sin, forever. Any derogation, any deviation, any kind of turning away to the left or to the right is not perfect. It's not acceptable to God. But through the mercy of God up into the roof of the box, through the mercy of God, the covering of God, there where the blood is sprinkled, through that, the holiness, always seen through the mercy, then always produces through the power of the Holy Spirit, the glory of God, which shines through you and I. There is no glory of God. There is no glory of God without shining through you and I in this world. Why? Because ever since the world began, that was his pleasure, plan A. I will have men, I will have women on earth that will worship me with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. And they will love their neighbor as themselves. You and I do already. We do certainly by faith, chair 4. But he wants to send you through because it's not perfect yet. You're not perfect yet. Does everybody realize that Christians still sin? After chair 4, which was given to you before you stopped sinning, your repentance in chair 3 did not eliminate sin. It just, actually the word repent doesn't mean what people think it means. Stop sinning. Unless you understand that the word sin was when I don't believe. The New Testament sin is not the Ten Commandments. The New Testament sin is not believing after you've broken the Ten Commandments that the Lord has ended your warfare, the Messiah. The Messiah has now said to Israel, be comforted. That is, comfort yourself, middle voice. That's the middle voice, not passive, not active, the middle voice. Comfort yourself. It's reflexive. Comes back on yourself. You comfort yourself, Israel, God is saying. Your warfare, tell Israel, her warfare is over. Her hostility toward me is gone. This is while it was still there. Chair 4. While she was still hostile toward God in creation, writing on each heart, I want you to love me and to do good and just and right and true. I want you to do all of that and never do wrong. Eschew evil. Don't do anything evil. Well, everybody failed. Everybody failed. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the glory of God is that you cannot, without him, do glory. You can't do works. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. Meekness means a man under authority, a woman under authority, a person under authority. That means you're a trustee. That means you've been entrusted with a ministry of reconciliation for the rest of the world. That's why we pray for our enemies. That's why we pray for Al-Qaeda. We pray for, you know, whoever. Okay, why? Because God first loved us. We love because he first loved us. And now that his love was, I want to actually come inside and marry you. I want you to be my temple, my housing, my dwelling place. I want to dwell on the earth. So God himself dwells in our hearts now. But he wants to dwell not just in our heart, chair 4, but in our soul. There's the problem. It's the soul that's the problem. We don't want to give up our soul, ourself. We don't want to die daily to ourself. We don't want to trust God on a daily basis. We want to trust him for heaven in the future or for forgiving us for the guilt of the past. But we don't want to trust him daily for our walk, chair 6. And therefore, you have to go through 5 to get rid of that not trusting. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Chair 5 is the happiest chair on there. It's the happiest chair up there. Not chair 4. Not chair 4. You can be born and yet die before you get the inheritance. You can be born again. You can be a believer and yet your faith doesn't become active in love because you never developed the relationship that was for, because you, I can tell you why. People don't have eyes and ears because they don't hear the law. Forget the gospel. Without the law, there is no gospel. Without being sick, there's no medicine. Without the bad news, there's no good news. When you have the law beating down on you, terrorizing you, condemning you, that is the best thing ever, because that makes you seek the Savior. That makes you seek God and not yourself and others. You don't look anymore to the pleasures of this world and so on. You begin to look for things above, because your help cometh from above. I will lift mine eyes up into the hills. That's just paganism. But my help cometh from the Lord, not the hills. I reversed what everybody thinks. Certainly the Masons built their Masonic order on that particular scripture. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, as though there's something above me up there. It's just made up religion, Masonic order, the Illuminati, etc., etc., etc. Now, God wants you to live in the real world, where it's dark down here many days, lots of time. Like, it's dark out there today, but the sun's somewhere up there. It's still there. So actually, you can be happy right now. Isn't that fun? We can be happy before we go to heaven, because heaven came to us. Because wherever Jesus is, that's where heaven is. It's not a garden. It's not a place. It's a person. And where Jesus is, you is. Wherever I am, you am. So you am right now because he am. And wherever he am, you am. So now I am happy because he's happy. I have the joy of the Lord. Did you know that I have the joy of the Lord? That's my strength. That's what fills me every day, where I'm walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Just through these teachings, through these simple teachings, you actually are made clearer, so that you know. Let me give you an example and I'll close. Remember how many sheep were in his flock? There was a man, he said, who had a flock of sheep, 100 sheep. And 99 of them were okay. What then is one? Of what value, of what worth is there in one sheep when you have 99? Well, under the law, it doesn't have any value, because you got 99 and they'll produce some more. So what's the big deal? So one is lost. Here's the value. You. You are why God won't do that. Because although 99 is greater than one, he lost not one, because you're the one. And therefore it matters in equity that you're the one that he's after. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He doesn't have a flock of 99. He has a flock of 100. And one is lost, and he will sacrifice whatever it takes to go and find that lamb, whatever cliff he has to climb down, whatever brambles he has to get through. He will pay any price for that one sheep. It's just one out of 99. That's much greater than one. Not in God's accounting. In God's accounting, you are the one that he's after. And he will seek and save the lost. He will do anything he can to find you. I am here to seek and save that which is lost. And he was talking then about the house of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was talking about the 99-to-1 ratio and saying, you are worth it. And when you go after somebody who has no value in this world's eyes, yet you have value in God's flock, because the flock is not 99 minus 1. It's not 100 minus 1, 99. It is 100. It has to be complete. God said, I lost not one. I lost not one because you were the one. That's how valuable you are. So God has made this offer to you. I want to marry you. Therefore, since you're my bride, I don't want to just have the 99. I want to have all 100. In other words, the whole flock. And, you know, it's going to be made up of Jew and Gentile. So it's a powerful thing that you are so precious in his sight. I don't know. I don't think everybody here probably cares about what I just said. But there might be one here that heard when I spoke that I'm the one, not the 99. I'm not the safe 99 ones that are secure, that are kept back in their enclosure. I am the one that went astray, went over the cliff, went too far, didn't do what God wanted me to do. And now what? I've gotten myself into trouble. The only thing that a sheep can do is nothing. If you put the weight on the sheep, sheep, look at you. Get back to God. He can't. He's already fallen over the cliff. He's on some ledge somewhere. He's in brambles, caught. But he can do one thing. What is that? Bah. Bah. I'm stuck here. I've screwed up my life. I've made a mess of everything. I thought I was awesome. I was such an explorer. I should have stayed with the 99. That little sheep has nothing to do because he can't find his way back. He cannot. Only the shepherd who's motivated to value the one that's lost and leave. It says he leaves the 99. That doesn't mean he left them without somebody there watching them. But he just leaves them. Meaning, right now, the 99, I am troubled because I want all 100. I don't want to lose one. I don't want to even lose one. If there's one more, I won't come back until I've got everyone in. Well, there is a number then in the flock that God already knows by foreknowledge, and therefore he will hold back all of time and space and history and everything else until he finds that one, and it's you. And you are chosen then to be part of the flock that will go all the way to 6, so that you may end up in 7 and finally 8. Someday, in highest heaven, you also will abide with the Father and the Son, and you will be there. You will be there, all of you together, in the same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit making us one with God, who is superior. I'm not equal to God, and yet I'm equal to him because of his love. In other words, government-wise, I'm inferior. But love-wise, I'm equal. Why? Because he lifted me up. He came down. He found me. He said, what are you doing? You've made a mess of everything. I'm going to pay whatever price it is. I don't want you to be destroyed. I don't want you to not be part of my flock. And so he will bring you to 4, come home, take care of all your wounds, take care of all your sins, all your wanderlust, whatever you got. He doesn't care. Doesn't care about those sins. He there wants only to keep the flock that he had in mind when he first created the universe. And you are part of it. You are sought out by God with all his heart, his soul, his strength. God, everything in God, epithumia. Lust desires after, against the flesh, for the Spirit, so that you might be a spiritual child of God. Hope you're blessed today. Amen. Hope these 9 fruits of the Spirit are you, so that when men see you, they don't see you. They see Christ in you, you, the new creation. You in Christ, the new creation. The old has passed away. The new has already come. Praise God. Danny, close in prayer.
Father God, we thank you that you love us. And just like Jim said,